Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the seventh day of the feast. That can be positive, but we all do not want the feast to end, do we? Anyways, we have been here to enjoy the feast, haven't we? This is actually the third time my family has been able to be at Jekyll Island. We always like it here. Very millennial setting, but that's what we're here for, right? We're trying to have a foretaste of what God's world will be like, because we know this is not God's world. This is Satan's world. When that time comes, the world we live in today will be history, and we look forward to that time. It will be a distant memory. You know, all the bad news you hear about today, that's just going to be gone. No more terrorist attacks. Imagine that. 100 years ago, people wouldn't have known what we're talking about, right? No more empty promises. There are a lot of those. And then there are lies. Righteousness will rule. All of these will be a thing of the past. The present evil age will be no more. So let's look at that subject today, what God's world will be like. And I'd like to put the emphasis on no one will be afraid. Let's turn to Micah 4 and in verse 1. I know we've been here before this feast, and I kind of came to the conclusion that if I had only used scriptures that no one else used, I probably might not even find any scriptures. So, anyways, Micah 4 is one of my favorite scriptures. Verse 1, now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains. We heard about that yesterday. We look so forward to that time, don't we? And it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And why do they do that? Because he will teach us his ways. People will be longing for teaching from God. Now, I'm just going to skip down through here a little bit. We've heard a lot of this before. Verse 3, he will judge between many peoples and beat their swords into plowshares, spears into pruning hooks. But then in verse 4, but everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree. Now, some of us may have experienced this to a degree, but then the next verse, it says, No one shall make them afraid. Can you imagine that? I know that perfect love casts off fear. But if you are like me, fear is something that we have to contend with in this world, isn't it? So today what I'd like to do is go through, at the beginning here, the first part, through the Ten Commandments and kind of see what we can learn about not having fear if only the Ten Commandments were kept. I'm more specifically going to focus on the last six commandments because they deal with human relationships. So let's go back to Exodus 20. We have the first four, and then we come to in verse 12, where it says, honor your father and mother. And he gives you the reason why. There's a blessing in doing that. That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, we could maybe also say the inverse, where the fathers need to also respect their children. That is a part of this relationship. But can you imagine, we live in a world today where there is so much fear in families of what a family member might do. That's all going to be gone. Simply by keeping this commandment. You know, families naturally are to be for support in society. You know, as the family goes, so goes the nation, they say, and we are very much witnessing that in today's world. So honor your father and mother. How much fear would disappear in this world if everyone did that? Our next commandment here is, you shall not murder. You shall not murder. I think that has a major part in today's fear. You know, that is something that kind of brought it to light to me. I was thinking about a situation. We all have our ideas of what is dangerous or might be dangerous. The danger of the unknown, for example. Reminded me of, I think it was maybe a year ago, we have a manufacturing business, and a truck, a long-distance truck, came in after hours. Being that we live next door, we were there, and that truck driver, you know, those of you, most of you probably don't know where we live, but let me give you a little bit of a background. We live out in the country where it has been published in U.S. News and World Report, I didn't really appreciate that, where no one locks their doors is what they said. But that's not not really true. But anyways, he was scared. We said, well, we can't load you off until tomorrow morning. And he understood that, but he said, where can I go? I said, well, you can stay right here. You know, we have security lights. But he wanted to know where the closest police station is. And where the closest gas station is? Well, the reality was the gas station was about 10 miles away and the police station about 15. We did. I don't remember whether we told him how far it was, but we convinced him to stay. But then on the opposite side where he came from, I'd probably be asking the same questions. Where can I stay? I don't want to stay here. The point I'm making is the unknown has a major part in fear, us having fear in today's world. Because we have, you know, we're built with fear. That's all going to be gone. And a lot of it has to do with this commandment. There will be no more need for a police force. People will feel free to roam the streets. Now, that would be a problem for me. I'd not feel free to roam the streets of Chicago at night, which is where this truck driver came from. There won't be any need for a military. Imagine that. We've read that multiple times during the feast. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And then we have the situation with life before birth being taken away, abortions. No more abortions, no more murder in that sense. The most innocent of human beings will get to actually live. Think about all the things that, all the fear that would go away if we only kept the sixth commandment. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. That's also a big one. Living in fear of unfaithfulness will be gone. It'll be a thing of the past. The family, the result will be the family will be intact. There will be a loving father, a loving mother. And faithfulness to your spouse will be the norm. There won't be any jokes about cheating on your spouse. And this law will be taken seriously. Then there's the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Well, I guess I already admitted that I have a little bit of a fear of that because I did lock my house when I left to come down here. But I remembered I didn't lock my car, but I'm not too worried about that because it's an old car. But the point is that fear is still here. And we know that no one shall be afraid in this world that we're looking forward to. You shall not steal, verse 15. Another thing that I wanted to bring to your attention is, even though we live out in the country, and you know, some people laugh at us, they think we live way out in the boonies, but we don't think so. So we got ourselves land out in the boonies, and it's kind of recreational property. But it didn't take me long to understand that you do not leave things there that you don't want carried away. So for many years, before I could afford to do this, we kept hauling stuff back and forth. But I finally ended up buying a 20-foot container, and I got that one locked too. In the world tomorrow, you won't have to do that. Another thing that will be a blessing, can you imagine the security, the cost of security, how that will impact the world tomorrow? We won't need security in the sense that we do today. Imagine the amount of money it would save. You know, in our family, my brother's company, for example, we're in manufacturing. They have a security company they make product for. And they make millions of little widgets that go into gadgets that are used for security, like at Walmart. You may have seen them. They take a magnet and go across it, and basically what it does, the magnetic part makes the little plate that goes into it move, and they can take it out and give you your goods. Can you imagine how much money that will save? That's just a small, small part of what is spent on security. These resources, even in manufacturing, making things, are going to be able to be channeled into building, into positive things. Then you've got number 9. You shall not bear false witness. I don't know about you, but if you live in today's world, and you, especially if you have a business, it has become very common to tell little white lies just to get what customers do it all the time. That will be gone. Think about the politicians who we know that they can't keep their promises, but yet they make all kinds of promises, and people believe that. And that's also a reason for fear. They don't trust their leaders because the trust is broken. You know, in the world tomorrow, trust will not be broken. Trust is something that, once it's broken, it is very difficult to restore, isn't it? And many times it is broken because, well, people can't be trusted. You know, there are always rumors and there are misunderstandings. And, you know, we know that Satan's not going to be here. I sometimes wonder how many conflicts or even wars could have been avoided if people perfectly understood each other. People's yes will be yes, and their no will be no. You'll know exactly where they stand. And then you have the last one, you shall not covet. Coveting is something we all have to struggle with, isn't it? We always see something somebody else had that we would like to have, but we are not to covet that. People do a lot of scheming just to get what is yours, get people to think they're getting a better deal. You know, one of my favorites is these ads about gold. They want you to buy their gold because they say your money is going to become worthless, yet they take your money that's going to become worthless to pay for the gold. You know, we know that gold is eventually not going to be, it's also going to be worthless. The most valuable thing that you and I have or that we can possess in this life is God's Spirit. He has given us His Spirit, and if we follow that Spirit, we will not lust. And if people wouldn't covet, there wouldn't be stealing. It would also help or change the fear. So there are many things that we could enjoy, or there would be a lot less fear in this world today if we just had people obeying the last six commandments. It will be different in God's world, the world tomorrow. It will be a way of life. We've heard it so clearly so many times during this feast. Like I said at the beginning, if I didn't want to use any scriptures that have been used before, I probably wouldn't be able to get up here and speak. I'd just have to talk about something else. But anyways, God wants us to rehearse. I believe yesterday we were probably in Isaiah 11. But let's go there, because that is an important scripture. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, verse 1, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. We know that that is Jesus Christ. Verse 3, his delight is in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor. There are a lot of people today that don't get fair justice. That will not be the case in the world tomorrow. Another reason for fear to disappear. No one shall make them afraid. In other words, if you own your property, or you think you do, there's nobody going to come and threaten you to take it away from you, either because you didn't pay your taxes or whatever. Righteousness will rule. We do understand the law that God had given ancient Israel, and I'm not an expert in the year of release, but I do think that will be a part of keeping things equal. Decide equity for the meek of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. God is faithful, we know that. Don't know how many of you, I'm sure all of you have experienced times of God's intervention in your life, but that is always kind of humbling, isn't it? And there's no other way to explain it. God had to intervene, and He is faithful. He will. At the top of this perfect leadership will be Jesus Christ, and we are called to be His assistants. That puts the onus on us that we try ever harder to be doing the things that it takes to make peace, to bring this world tomorrow. Verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. That is one of my favorite scriptures. In some ways, I can kind of relate to that, in that when I grew up, there was a sheep farmer not far from us, and he didn't want to mess with the orphan lambs. So he brought them to me, and of course, I put the bottle in the mouth. Sometimes I wasn't successful. Sometimes they died. So I learned to deal with that early in life. But when I was successful and brought them up, they were almost like a little kitty. I even went as far as went to the local harness shop and got their scrap leather, made myself a little harness, and I made myself a little cart, had an old wagon, took the wheels off of it. That little guy pulled that wagon for me, and I actually put him to work. He followed me, you know, why not? And he would help me do the chores around home. But why do I bring this up? You know, can you imagine having those kinds of animals in the world tomorrow? Even the lamb today. We've had sheep most of our life. And sheep are interesting creatures. Even in today's world, they are not totally tame. You know, during their reproductive season, you kind of want to stay away from the rams. And there's stories about rams and what they can do, and I have experienced that myself, actually, where don't say sheep don't fight, because they do. That will all change in the world tomorrow, but I've lost. See, how was this? This was the old ram is the one I lost because he was the larger. The smaller one will always kill the larger. So I had bought a new ram, and I didn't want him to be in with the sheep because I wanted him for future generations. And I came out there one morning, and only he was in with the sheep. So I went looking. Sure enough, the old man was dead because sheep do fight. So we're not in God's world yet. You know, another example is about the fear. You know, we even have that today of wildlife. You know, if you get out into these national parks and et cetera, you have to be aware of grizzly bears and et cetera. That's all going to be gone as well. We won't have those pressures in the world tomorrow. The Lamb of God will be the king. The deceit of Satan will be gone. And I don't know about you, but how many times has Satan confused us and we've had misunderstandings? He loves that, but he will be gone. So we don't have the fear of that either. Let's go to Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8. And verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts. We heard about that yesterday. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men. Imagine that, old men. I'm not quite there yet. And old women shall sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in hand because of great age. And that's the kind of world that we all long for, isn't it? The streets of the city, and this is the real special part, shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Doesn't look like there's any fear there. They are able to live out their lives and live as a family should be able to live. It will be beautiful to see this. You know, children will actually be seeking the wisdom of their elders. I imagine a lot of the gimmicks that we have today to keep children entertained are not going to be needed. You know, one thing, we do have some grandchildren, my wife and I, and actually one of them is with us here at the feast. But they are precious. And one of the things that you always notice with your grandkids, you can get the nicest toy, the most expensive toy, it's not that that they enjoy the most. What my grandsons enjoy the most is the gravel pit out by the swing set. They just play and play, and it's just plain old gravel. Small gravel, but clean gravel, and they love it. So it's the simple things that God gives us will be appreciated. Young people will value their elders not for their money. I think that's a common thing today, but for their wisdom. and there will be spiritual guidance. Let's continue over in Isaiah 30. Isaiah 30 and verse 19. This is a scripture I know we've looked at as well, but let's start in verse 19. For the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. You know, we try to preach the gospel today, and we are limited in how effective we can be. The world tomorrow, that's all going to be different. Now, we are called to be there to help these people, as we heard earlier in the feast. We will be there to tell whenever you turn the right or whenever you turn to the left. I think it was Mr. Iams that talked about his car the other day. And I appreciated very much the analogy he made of how important it is to have some, or how effective I should say it is, to have someone teach you one-on-one. And we're losing that fast. Computers are supposed to teach us. That's going to be different in the world tomorrow. We will be there to help these people one-on-one. We will be those teachers. And leadership like that is going to bring prosperity and no more fear. Let's go to Isaiah 35, just a few pages over. Isaiah 35. In verse 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice. I don't think people will have a fear of financial difficulty in the world tomorrow. And we'll probably look at, they'll look differently, for one thing, they'll look differently at their finances than they do today. Because we are so tied in with just making it to the next day. But in the world tomorrow, there will be abundance. In Zephaniah 3, verse 9, I know that's tucked in here among the minor prophets. Here we are. Zephaniah 3, verse 9. And then I will restore to the people a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. You know, pure language will bring unity, and fear will be a thing of the past. If you go to a foreign country today and you don't know their language, it's kind of interesting. I had a wild goose chase business trip some years back. I don't want to get into details, but I ended up going with my brother to China. And it ended up being a wild goose chase, but the one thing I will never forget, when I was on my way home, I was completely by myself on that plane, and it was filled with people, mostly of Asian descent, that couldn't speak English. But I figured, well, the flight attendants probably can speak English. So I was asking the flight attendant about their rewards. You know, like airlines give you rewards and frequent flyer miles, etc. And she looked at me kind of puzzled, and I was like, what's wrong? And then she laughed. I said, well, she probably can't speak English. So she's going to get someone that can. So she came back with a glass of water. So I decided the frequent flyer thing isn't really that important. But it was, you know, it brought home the point of how important being able to understand each other is. You know, I wasn't really afraid, you know, these planes fly every day, but it still brought home the point, I'm among a whole bunch of people that might not be able to speak English. We take that for granted in America, don't we? But there will be a perfect language. People will say what they mean, and then mean what they say. Amos 9, I don't want to turn there, but it even talks about the plowman overtaking the reaper because of the abundance. There will be great land improvements, and the list goes on and on and on. The common man will have not be taken advantage of like today. It's kind of hard to avoid that in Satan's world, in a world of get. You always will have those who are left behind. No one will be left behind. God's plan is so great, every single person, as we shall hear tomorrow, will have this opportunity that you and I have. Everyone will share in their wealth. For one last scripture, let's go to Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verse 9. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. And why is that? Because the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as we heard many times through the feast, as the waters cover the sea. Everyone will have their own vine, their own fig tree. No one will feel threatened. No one will make them afraid, as we read earlier. But we realize that when we go home, we're not there yet. We've had a foretaste of it. This island, even with all the commercialism that has developed, one thing I noticed, it's still not like going to a big city feast. You have lack of words, you know. It's just very, very nice. You feel at ease. That world is coming. We're not there yet, but we must work together and become framed together and be prepared to do our part, because we have a calling, as we heard earlier. Be prepared to do our part in the world tomorrow. God's way will cover the earth as the waters will cover the sea. And we have been here to enjoy that, a foretaste of that, although we can't do it perfectly because of the world we live in and because of our own weaknesses. But we were able to have a taste of that. May we be more diligent in making our calling and election sure, and may God's kingdom come soon.